Hi everyone, and welcome to Forest.chat, where we talk about individual endeavour in Western Australia, what it takes, what it means, and how you do it. I'm your host, Paul Vandermeer, and in today's episode, we'll be talking with Andy Van Can about mountain biking. After engineering in aviation and motorsport at the highest levels, including 3 Dakar wins with Mitsubishi and 5 World Rally Championships with WRC Citroen Sport, it's time to tackle physics you cannot control. That is, gravity while riding a mountain bike. To add to the challenge, take what you know and apply it to coaching mountain bikers. And that's Andy Van Can. Welcome to Forest.chat, Andy.
Well, thank you very much, Paul. Very excited to be here. Very happy to be talking on Forest Chat and pretty excited about talking about one of my favourite subjects, mountain biking.
Excellent. Looking forward to it. It's great to have you here, Andy. For those who have no idea about mountain biking, can you describe for us just what mountain biking is?
Sure. Look, at its broadest sense, it's really riding a mountain bike, any mountain bike, on unsealed roads and tracks, generally with up and down hills, hence the word mountain. So generally hills are involved, and generally true mountain biking is on what we call single tracks, which is sort of the width of a bike rather than the width of a car. But anything on an unsealed road or track on a mountain bike is mountain biking. In terms of what else it is, it's, you know, it's an ability to develop mental and physical fitness. It comes in any form that you want, recreational, solo or group. You can develop through to racing. There's a couple of different forms of mountain bike racing, and in my case, also coaching. It's pretty broad, but essentially riding a mountain bike on unsealed roads.
That makes it sound very simple, Andy.
To start off with, Paul, it absolutely is. If someone's got even a basic mountain bike, and of course bikes themselves come in many and varied forms and many and varied costs, but essentially anything that has got slightly chunky tyres for unsealed roads, 20-minute ride is going mountain biking. Anything from that to competition. Yeah, it is very, very simple to get into.
Fantastic. And what inspired you to take up mountain biking?
The fact that mountain biking, once you get into it and get a little bit of confidence up, it's a little bit like my second sport, which is rally driving. They really share something in common. They're what I call very raw and real. There's no hiding places. There's no, I like to consider it as no reset button. It really gives you a great feeling of euphoria to know you're doing something that's real. You've got to know what you're doing and have fun doing it.
I did a few very short mountain bike rides with a mutual friend of ours and through some territory, and the first thing I could describe it as was rallying, but without a car.
Well, there you go, Paul, because we do both share rallying in common as well. And you're quite right. I think the comparisons are there. You know, it's reading the road, reading the track, reading the road. It's raw. It's euphoric. I love it, as you could probably tell.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Definitely can hear that. So what does it take for you, Andy, to be the mountain biker that you are?
Yeah, look, I guess firstly there's a fitness component, and, you know, again, that's a scale of wherever a mountain biker wants to be. In my case, I treated it as an opportunity to get really quite fit. So I race mountain biking. So physical fitness, it's done me wonders in terms of physical fitness. It's you know, my GP takes great pride in the fact that I'm really quite fit and healthy. So there's that, and also mental fitness. You do have to concentrate, and just the peace and tranquility of being out in the bush, because most mountain bike parks and mountain bike tracks are a bush environment. So it's really, I find it really good for mental fitness. If things are getting on top of me, I'll just hop on my bike and go away for an hour and a half. From there on, I decided that I wanted to get better at it, so I decided to develop some skills and get some lessons. And there is an internationally recognized pyramid of skills called the Six Skills Pyramid, and you know, they involve things like how do you sit on the bike? Stability. How do you get stability? How do you operate the bike? You know, what's the right way to do the gears, the brakes? How do you read the road? How do you corner pedaling? Lots of technical detail. So I increased my skills. Then, of course, Paul, it's like many things in life. You've got to do it regularly to get better at it. So I practice. I ride a lot. In any given week, I would be riding at least 4 or 5 days. And then there's the PD, the professional development. I found I'm very fortunate to know a very accomplished mountain bike coach, very senior, that takes me for a ride every month to continue to develop my skills. Yeah, from there on, I also took an interest in the bike, so I know how to maintain a mountain bike and I know how to tune the suspension and just generally set it up. It's quite remarkable how a lot of people ride bikes and they haven't done basic setup, like, you know, where the brake levers should be and where the gear controls should be. So I do that as well.
So there's quite a bit of practical setup knowledge, and it sounds like that's relatively easily attainable if you do the right things.
It is. It is. It's the wonderful thing about mountain biking is it can be as intense and as complex or as simple and relaxing as you wish. Many riders ride once or twice a month and go for maybe half an hour and enjoy it, and that's fine. It's really as big or small as you want to make it. It's a lovely, flexible, affordable, easy-to-get-started sport.
Yes, it does seem to have garnered a big following as well, which is really, really good.
Indeed, indeed, Paul. In fact, I think most of the cities and shires, certainly here in Western Australia, have realised that mountain biking ticks a lot of boxes. It's quiet. It's environmentally very friendly. It helps mental and physical fitness and development. It's really not very invasive on the environment. It's becoming more and more popular. We see mountain bike parks popping up certainly throughout the southwest of Western Australia quite regularly, and that's good to see. It's good to see that the local shires are getting behind it.
Yeah, even in preparation for this interview, I'm going, oh, I didn't know there were tracks here and tracks there. It's quite amazing.
Indeed.
Coming into mountain biking, Andy, what strengths did your existing skills give you?
Yeah, look, one of the things, and we've talked about it a minute ago, was the fact that my other sport is rallying, and the thing that I found worked really well for me was the ability to read roads, particularly in the early days of rallying when navigation was fairly basic map work. To drive a rally car, you really needed to be able to read the road. What are the road conditions? Which way is it going? Is it up, down? Is it rough, smooth? So that whole notion of what we call terrain aware, which happens to be the third skill in the skills pyramid, I found that natural skill was really, really very useful when I first hopped on a mountain bike.
And it's great to know what your strengths are, Andy. Did you identify any weaknesses?
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed, Paul. Even though I had ridden, as most of us have, a bike since we were kids, when mum or dad first let the seat go and we were little kids and we started riding, and most of us have ridden a lot. And of course, I made the mistake of thinking that that meant that I was a good mountain biker, and it's not the case. My deficit was skills, and I discovered that the hard way with a few silly injuries, and I thought, well, I better do something about this. So yeah, the weakness, Paul, was skill level, and I needed to do something about that. Yep.
Yeah, that having the right skills, looking at the skills that you mentioned earlier, things like control, very important to maintain that, I would imagine, on some of these trails, especially when the ground's a little loose under the tyres.
Indeed. Particularly in here in WA, where we have what we call our ball bearing gravel, which you'll be familiar with from your rally days, Paul. Same applies on a mountain bike. You've got to be very, very careful if you get onto that sort of slippery gravel. So, look, I took some action to do something about my skill level. I did some courses, and courses are available. I'm very pleased to say that There is good support in terms of getting professional lessons for mountain biking. So I did that. I took some lessons, and I've now taken quite a few to increase my skills. And I also found a mentor, somebody that had a lot of mountain biking skills, superior, way superior to mine. And I ride with that person from time to time just to make sure I keep developing my own skills.
Yeah, that continually evolving skill set. That's
indeed.
And if you don't use it, you lose it.
Oh, absolutely. Just keep doing it. Even if you only ride, you know, once or twice a month, that's fine to keep your eye in, as the expression goes. In my case, I do a lot more riding than that. And I found that as I got more confident in the riding and my skill level came up, I just wanted to ride. So now I'll just be doing something. I think I would just go for a ride. And so it kind of feeds on itself. Keep that skill level up.
Fantastic. And if someone is looking for a course, what should they be looking for in that course?
A good question, Paul. I did refer back earlier. I mentioned the six skills pyramid. Look, most reputable mountain bike schools do follow the six skills pyramid. And I would strongly recommend for anybody, even starting out, even unsure whether they want to go into the lovely world of mountain biking, go and do the first three skills of the six skill pyramid. I say that because those three are really the basics you need for stability, balance, how to operate the bike, and how to read the track. And that doesn't take a lot. You know, two or three lessons of that, and you will be a different rider, and you'll enjoy your mountain biking. So I would strongly encourage anyone that really wants to decide whether they're actually going to enjoy their mountain biking, go and get the first three skills, stability, how to operate the bike, and terrain aware. After that, it really becomes a case of, did you fall in love? And if so, do the next three. That gets to a higher level. We start to do cornering, called directional control and pressure control and timing and coordination. They're higher level skills, not necessary unless you really want to develop you're riding to a higher level. So in short, Paul, I would encourage to go and do the first three skills of the skills pyramid.
That sounds like great advice, Andy. We've talked about what it takes to be a mountain biker. Next up, we look at the difference being a mountain biker makes. We've heard what it takes to be a mountain biker. Now it's time to explore what it means. Andy, how has being a mountain biker changed you, your family, or the community?
Yeah, very good question, Paul. Look, I'd like to, if I may, I'd like to respond in two ways. The first one is the riding aspect, and then I'll touch on to what coaching has meant to me. Riding really has been an enormous benefit to me. What it means to me is the ability to develop self-worth through challenge. I mean, I've decided that I wanted to get better at mountain biking. I race now as well in a couple of forms of racing. And that really has been great for me, feeling good about myself. And I think that's very important for all of us to be able to feel good about ourselves. And I've done that through what I call the zone. You know, once you get to a particular level of mountain biking, and it doesn't take long to do, you really zone out. You know, that expression I'm sure all of you have heard, to zone out. And they are wonderful moments. It's at the end of that, you get to the bottom of a hill that you've done very well, or you've done very well getting up a hill. You know, you felt good about the physical exertion, and they're really euphoric moments. So for me, riding has really been a lot about my self-worth, feeling great about myself. Coaching has kind of been a bit of a different angle there. For me, it's been friendships, developing friendships. My coaching essentially is pretty much one-on-one, and most of the people I've coached over the years have stayed for quite some time for lessons to develop their riding. And it's just lovely to, you know, the joy of what I call hand under the elbow, to assist people learn things by themselves, but with some assistance, some guidance, and at their own pace and in their own comfort zone. And then you're rewarded from time to time where a rider's gone from being quite a nervous rider to doing something really nice, like maybe the first time they've got their bike into the air, and you hear the shriek of joy as they get their first little jump. They're wonderful things to experience. So, you know, that's what it's meant to me. There's also been, I guess, a bit of a paradox, and there's a happy sad, because some of these friendships, riders get to a level where they're comfortable with their riding, and they move on and start to race or do other things and don't have any lessons. And you sort of stay in touch, but you don't ride regularly. So that's kind of happy, because you've got someone to a new experience in their life, but a little bit sad because they move on. But that's the nature of coaching, I guess. So, yeah, it's really been self-worth, friendships, joy. Love it. It's been very, very important to me.
Yeah, it's amazing just how much you gain from helping other people in all sorts of ways, but in this one it's very evident. You can tell by the shrieks.
Indeed, indeed. And that's not just a metaphor, that's actual. You know, particularly a couple of the mums, you know, they never, when they first started with me, and they want to ride with their kids, you know, and so they start to develop some basic skills, and 6 months later they're sailing down some difficult tracks, jumping off rocks and going through the air, and you can hear the shriek from the bottom of the hill. It's wonderful, shrieks of joy from the bottom of the hill. It's a lovely experience.
Fantastic. And do you see your mountain biking as being inspiring then?
I think so. I think so, Paul, because I guess my evidence of that is that many, many riders that I've coached over the last several years have said to me, maybe 2 or 3 months in, they'll use the phrase, you know, Andy, I never imagined in my wildest dreams that I would be able to do what I just did. And that's happened many times, more than once. In fact, regularly I get riders after 2 or 3 months that just never imagined I could do that. So to inspire someone to break that self-imposed barrier of I can't do that, and to break that with nurturing and care and patience, and inspire them to do stuff that, in their own words, I never imagined I'd do it. Yeah, it's lovely, Paul.
Oh, that seems to make a great difference in people's lives to give them that.
I think so. I think so. I'm glad you used that expression, because, again, I've heard that. You know, I've heard riders say to me, you know, this is just almost to the point where they say, this has just transformed my life. I've never imagined that I'd be able to do this and have this much fun and develop this sort of skill. So, yeah, it is, Paul. It's a wonderful experience.
That's great to hear. And it's easy to see that there's lots of meaning and benefits to mountain biking, Andy. Next, let's look at how you go mountain biking. Andy, we've looked at what it takes and what it means. Now let's look at how you go about mountain biking. How do you get ready for a day of mountain bike riding?
Yeah, look, again, let's start at the beginning, you know, and assume that it's somebody that's going to have a go at this that may not necessarily even have a bike. So go and borrow one off a mate or rent one. Most of the bike shops, reputable bike shops, rent mountain bikes at very affordable day rates. So go and grab a bike. You can either just go for a ride and, you know, do that carefully at a mountain bike park or a gravel track or whatever. But I would, as I've mentioned before, Paul, I would really strongly recommend finding a reputable coaching school and do the first three skills. It's only going to be 2 or 3 sessions. Get to that, I call it safety through stability. The thing that saddens me from time to time is that people go out mountain biking and really don't go to the trouble of finding out those first three skills, safety through stability, and then really don't enjoy the sport. And worse than that, very early in their riding, hurt themselves. WA is famous for its ball bearing gravel. And in other mountain bike parks and other areas, there might be mud or sand. And without some basic learning, the sad thing is that we lose a lot of people that would otherwise really enjoy their mountain biking. So I would strongly recommend go and get a couple of lessons for those first three skills and develop safety through stability. from there on, ride what we call the green level tracks, which are for intended to be for developing riders, beginners through their early development. Go to mountain bike parks, find all the green tracks. They're all marked. They're all color coded. Ride, ride, ride. Do kilometers. Without scaring yourself, just get your confidence level up. Get seat time, as we call it. From there on, after you've done that for a while, decide, do you want to progress? If you do, great. Then maybe get some more lessons, the top end of the pyramid, the next three skills. And then maybe all of a sudden you're going to say, well, maybe I could do a blue level, what we call a blue level, which is an intermediate level ride. Now, all of a sudden, if we're doing blue level tracks, we've got some obstacles, not dangerous obstacles, but nonetheless obstacles. Ride them, get confident, get your coach to take them take you over them one by one. We call that sessioning. You can walk them, look at them and do an obstacle and go, wow, I did that. Terrific. That builds confidence. And the next thing you know, you do the next obstacle and the next, and you just incrementally build that up on blue level riding and do kilometers. From there on, you know, you've got some decisions to make. If you've fallen in love with it, which many, many people do, then you need to look at your bike and say, well, has the bike grown with me? And now you might start spending some dollars on a higher level bike that's got better technology on it. And ultimately, Paul, from a humble beginning of borrowing a bike and going for a ride, you might decide to go racing. I did. It was many, many years before I did, but I went racing, mountain bike racing, and that in itself brings you into a community and a camaraderie that is really extraordinary life experience. So yeah, that's kind of everything from that first wobbly, terrified borrow a bike and go for a ride on a gravel road through racing. That's the process, Paul.
Wow, yeah, that seems like there's a nice progression through all of that as well. You know, there's things you can do immediately. There are things you can work on, and there are things you can develop towards. So that sounds like a fantastic opportunity for people to get in and have a go and take it as far as they like.
Indeed, Paul, and absolutely. You can get in there, go for a ride, and then you decide. No, hopefully no one's going to put any pressure on you to do anything more or less than you want. My experience has been that with very few exceptions, riders that grab a mountain bike and come for a ride, do an assessment ride, they carry on and get at least to what I call competent blue. So they're intermediate level riders that just can't get the smile off their face.
That sounds like the sweet spot, Andy.
Yeah, indeed. And if you do it right, look, of course, Paul, mountain biking, it's on a two-wheeled device. Of course, there are risks and you can hurt yourself. But again, it's been my experience that if you get those three skills sorted out and you ride within your limits and you ride intelligently, don't get beyond yourself, the probability of you hurting yourself is diminished to the point where it's no more risky than walking down to the shops.
That's good. I'm sure there's a lot of mums like to hear that.
Well, that's been down here in the Southwest. That's really been the growth. And it's so pleasing to see mums when the youngest child gets into kindy or pre-primary, they want to then start doing something for themselves, and they grab a mountain bike and come and do some lessons and develop some skills that they never imagined they would. I've had many mums say it was a pathway to getting their life back after the chaos and busyness of young children.
That's another whole realm of meaning.
Indeed. Indeed. A whole different discussion, Paul.
Okay. So mountain biking appears to be a very approachable sport. Thank you for sharing your experience of mountain biking, Andy. And from all Forest.chat listeners, we wish you all the best in your future endeavours.
Thank you, Paul. I've really enjoyed this conversation. As you probably could tell from my voice, I love this sport. I'm very enthusiastic about it. And I genuinely do hope that Forest.chat listeners can and will benefit from my experience. Once again, Paul, thank you very much. I've enjoyed every moment of it.
You've been listening to Forest.chat, where we talk about individual endeavour in Western Australia, what it takes, what it means, and how you do it. I'm your host, Paul Vandermay, and in today's episode, we talked with Andy Van Can about mountain biking. Remember, there are four ways you can get involved with Forest.chat. Share the domain Forest.chat with your friends and family and people you meet. Listen to the published episodes at forest.chat/episodes. Book an interview at forest.chat/interview. Book an advert at forest.chat/advert. I'm looking forward to joining you with our next interview. Until next time, enjoy making it happen.